Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Todd Albaugh, along with our producer engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, back at the World Headquarters in downtown Madison. We are on location live at South Milwaukee High School and welcome in our special co-host for this hour, the host of Up North News. He got up early and he came all the way down to Milwaukee, Pat Kreitlow. Pat, great to have you along with us down
feeling
here.
Feeling like the Pepper Brooks to your Cotton McKnight here on ESPN 8, the Ocho, getting set to call high school basketball from South Milwaukee Area Senior High, or SMASH, as they call it here. We are here in the lunchroom at South Milwaukee, yes, where, much like the old days, we are not at any cool kid's table. We have been exiled right to the edge of the cafeteria. But it's all for a good cause, as all these educators talk about. To put it mildly, what the hell is wrong with education funding in Wisconsin, and how can we fix it?
Mark that one down, Mr. Zommers. One of the best opens this show has ever had. Great to have Pat Kreitlow along. It does feel a little bit more like a high school. They had the great South Milwaukee High School pep band out here earlier, Pat, doing a great job.
It had a very halftime vibe to it, and now we're competing with a speaker in the cafeteria. So it really is like the whole school's come to life again.
Really is. We are here, as we kind of tone it down a little bit for the speaker to our left, but we are here for the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summer Conference, and educators, administrators from all over the state have gathered here today to hear speakers, kind of a convocation, if you will, learn about education, and see the big theme, Pat, at this event is about accountability, but also action.
It is about action, especially when they know that for literally for decades now, they've been fighting against a school funding system that has been increasingly politicized. We're working off a formula that is literally from 30 years ago, 1993. And all it serves to do now, compared to 30 years ago when it was to rein in, exploding property taxes, is now all about punishing public schools. I just came out of the first breakaway session where they explain school funding to new school board members. Yeah. And I almost saw people weeping as they learn about negative tertiary districts and all of the other complexities that are just another way of saying there are people in positions of power in the state that do not want to support our children the way that they were supported by the generation prior.
We're going to set the table for you in just a minute. Again, the Wisconsin Public Education Network, correct me if I'm wrong, Pat, but it's a 501c3. This is not the teachers' union. It's not the school board association. Right. This is a private, not-for-profit association that is a network that's trying to simply bring light to the problems of public education and then try to advocate how we fix them.
This is what you want. This is the special interest group you want to see. Right. People who are passionate about something and are willing to gather together on their own to advocate, in this case, for public schools. This is not WMC, this is not a state political party. These are people who are active or retired educators, school board members, others who simply see that this is the right thing to do if you want to grow our economy and grow Wisconsin's future by making sure our public schools are in good hands, or hopefully someday in better hands.
Pat, before we continue on the event of the day here in South Milwaukee, some breaking news. Many people may have heard it at the top of the hour via either the CBS, ABC, or AP radio news, depending upon which civic media station you listen to. This from CBS's Scott McFarland at this hour. New court filings breaking at this hour. Special counsel Jack Smith now recommending December 11th of this year, 2023, for jury selection, and January 2nd, of 2024 for a trial in Donald Trump's 2020 election conspiracy case.
Well, isn't the deadline? Isn't the deadline
for the right thing, knowing that the former President Trump is going to try to delay as much as possible? So you'd better start with a very early target, because some delays are always inevitable. Others are going to try to be attempted, and so you don't lose anything by trying to schedule as soon as possible, because it's almost certainly going to slide.
A little bit of a delay, Mr. Zommers. You have something to add? Go ahead. Pat can't hear you, so go ahead.
Just as Donald Trump and all his compatriots had to get in their coup before January 6th. That was the deadline for elections, right? So we gotta hurry this up, finish it before January 6th of this year.
Aaron, making the point that, you know, January 6th was the deadline to get, you know, the new president confirmed through the process and the Electoral College. And maybe Jack Smith has a little irony there. I don't think it's intentional, but it is a bit ironic.
I'm all for irony, however accidental it might be, because if it helps remind people of what happened, you know, at that point we'll be 3 years on almost to the day. That's fair, because this was a terrible, tragic day in our nation's history. Let's have that accountability.
According to Scott McFarland at CBS News at this hour, if Jack Smith's proposed date is accepted by Judge Tanya Chutkan in Washington, D.C., the trial would be on the opening days on January 6th, 2024, the three-year mark to the day of the Capitol attack. Jack Smith argues his proposed timing would, quote, provide roughly 5 months before the start of trial for the defense to review discovery, which, as described in the proceedings, the government expects to subsequently complete the advance of the court's hearing on August 28th. I mean, that's coming up.
Yes, it is. Like I said, it's in my mind, it's optimistic, but that's the place where you start and you keep the pressure on, because while the wheels of justice also often turn slowly, they turn steadily. And let's keep that up.
Right. I think it's a great thing. We appreciate the update there from CBS News. We'll keep you abreast if anything else happens. But we're going to talk public education with our friend Pat Kreitel and others. We are on location at South Milwaukee High School at the Public Education Network Conference. Back with more after this on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to Follow Ball Show across the Civic Media Radio Network. Always fun to hang out with our friend and colleague, Mr. Pat Kreitel, the host of Up North News on the Up North News Network Radio and across Civic Media as well. And you can catch him every morning from 6 until 8, from Lake Wissota to South Milwaukee.
I was going to say, so we're pursuing truth all the way to South Milwaukee. Yes. A long way from Lake Wissota, but this is where folks are gathered. And a lot of people from up north are up here as well. This summer session is a great opportunity for people to gather right before the launch of the school year and talk about relevant issues. And we'll talk about the ones that are rather, you know, touch on politics by and large. But you see just a lot of other networking and idea sharing before the next school year begins.
Absolutely. And again, apologize to those who are listening and watching this stream as well. Voice still not quite back, Pat. I've been fighting this group or whatever. It's not COVID. I keep testing. It's not that. And so I apologize to our listeners because I sound like crap. And,
well, that was me for the 2 weeks prior. So you definitely have my sympathy, and all you can do is kind of fight through it. And we'll try to get some guests on here with you to take a little of the pressure off.
We appreciate that. If you'd like to join the conversation, we invite you as well. Give us a call on the line, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Also, you can get us at the Civic Media app. There is a little button there to text us or to call as well, either on your Android or Apple device. Again, on location here in South Milwaukee at the Wisconsin Public Education Network Conference. Go to the text line right now, WMDX back in Madison. We were talking earlier about the fact that Jack Smith and this Trump trial is looking at a speedy calendar. One of our listeners up there in Madison says, quote, "There is no such thing as a right to a slow trial."
Exactly. Right. If you're a defendant like Donald Trump, you should want a speedy trial, because you say you're not guilty and you want to have your name cleared as soon as possible.
Yep.
So that is what you should do. But that has never been what Donald Trump has done in the many lawsuits and other court cases that he's been involved in.
Invite your calls on the current topic, public education in Wisconsin. Again, this is not the teachers union that we're at. It is not the School Board Association, as Pat said, not WMC, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. This is a 501c3 independent group whose mission is really to bring awareness and advocacy on behalf of public education across the state here in South Milwaukee.
And so when I got here after the drive from Madison, I come walking into the theater here at South Milwaukee High School, And who do I see but Todd Alba up on stage making remarks. Apparently you've got some kind of family tied to education. You've never mentioned that previously.
Really?
So this was new to me. No, that's sarcasm.
Oh.
Todd. There's a reason.
My head's foggy.
A reason they asked you up on stage is to talk about the importance of education to your family and to your life. And I thought you gave some very heartfelt remarks.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. It was a little rush because we were behind in time, so we didn't really do the thing we were going to do. But yeah, my maternal grandmother, Marge Wallace, who passed away about 6 years ago, she was the first woman to serve as a dean of a UW campus at UW-Richland. My sister and brother-in-law are still teachers of the Eau Claire School District, which we have people here from Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley area. And my dad, my stepmom, and my mother all retired teachers as well. So public education, that's something near and dear to my heart. I know when you were in the state Senate, you worked and were an advocate for public education yourself.
And tried to work in the existing formula as Byzantine as it is by doing things like looking for, poverty aid or scarcity, sparsity aid, and all these other ways to gin up the formula. And again, coming back to that session that reviewed it today, I mean, it was just a masterclass put on by Tom McCarthy, who's the executive director for the Department of Public Instruction here for the state of Wisconsin. And through all manner of charts and graphs, helped explain the history of how we pay for schools. But it just kept bringing me back to when I was running for legislature originally in 2006 and saying, in all sincerity, why are we doing it this way? Yeah. Why are we putting so much on the property tax to begin with, which right away is going to lead to inequities all across the state? It's going to pit communities against one another. And then you add in all of these other factors where what started as a simple, as Tom McCarthy explained it, A minus B equals C equation of how you get funded. You can fit that you can write that on your hand, right? A minus B equals C. But by the time you add in all the other things with categorical aids and federal aids, and you account for mobility and declining enrollment and free lunch and technology and disabilities, it now looks like, for anybody who's seen Oppenheimer, looks like one of those Einstein-esque calculations that's written on a chalkboard as big as a billboard.
Yeah.
And we've got to find a better way to do that here.
And too often, people in Madison and in Washington, but in Madison in particular, like to have slogans, like to have things that kind of catch on. Oh, we're going to lower your property taxes or whatever, but they don't do what Pat just did, what this conference is doing, which is breaking it down. And each of us in our communities end up paying for it. And the local school boards are the ones that have to raise taxes because the legislature isn't doing their job in Madison. And Pat, what's the number now? What we have, $4 billion surplus, more or less, in the kitty right now?
Right. And so if ever, you are going to do a significant overhaul of the way that we pay for public education, you always need, a little seed money to start things up, and then you'd run it based off of current year figures. But you first have to make up some of the deficits that are baked into the formula. And you would do that, but only if you had a really large surplus. Oh, wait, we've got that this year. And yet all Republicans wanted to do was just throw a few dollars in, throw a few more dollars to voucher schools, and use the rest for income tax cuts.
Yeah.
And you may be in favor of tax cuts, but you've squandered an immense opportunity to fix a formula that you should want, because whatever your party, Republican or Democrat, you should want the schools in your district to have stability, to have good teachers who stick around, who have equipment and buildings that aren't falling apart. And yet, rather than do any of that, they've, in my mind, throwing away this opportunity. I don't have any illusions that it's going to be fixed in some kind of a fall session or a special session. So I'm really just left with saying, how could you let this slip through your fingers to really make substantive change, something you could have been proud of, a bipartisan package, and yet it didn't happen. So we're back here learning about these formulas and learning how we can, goose them a little here and there to make things a bit less unfair, to put it mildly.
Are you satisfied with the way public education is being funded? Are you satisfied with the condition of Wisconsin's public education schools? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phones. Jack up in Merrimack. Appreciate you hanging on, Jack. Jack, what say you?
Well, first of all, Act 10 has a great deal to do with what's happening to our schools. When I retired a few years ago, I was teaching science, and there were six of us in the science department, and we were each teaching five classes. The school district I retired from did not hire another science teacher. They just redistributed the classes so that now there were five teachers, each teaching six classes. And Act 10, because you can't negotiate conditions of employment, Act 10 allowed them to do this. That's the first thing I want to say. My son, who graduated just June from UW-Eau Claire, he is not going to teach in Wisconsin. He's got a teaching certification, but he moved to Minneapolis. It just turns out that Minnesota has got a serious commitment to attracting new teachers. They have in the St. Paul Public Schools, and if you listen to, I think it's Native Roots, the program on this station, you've heard the ad. They're giving a $10,000 signing bonus for teachers in St. Paul. And the last thing I want to say is this. The legislature in their budget did not give anything to public schools. They gave, out of the $7-plus billion, they gave a $3,000 per student increase in welfare to private schools. They allowed, at their great generosity, for 2 years, and Evers actually extended that a bit, shall we say. But anyway, they allow school districts to increase their taxes to the point where they can get a $300 increase, if it's approved, of course, in referendum. So this is a you wonder what public.
Right. No, I appreciate the call so much, Jack. Jack and Merrimack, thank you so much for calling in. If you'd like to be like Jack, give us a call, 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. I know, Pat, there's a little bit of a delay. You don't have a headset, but talking about the fact that Act 10 really did a number, pun intended, on this state. Jack, a former teacher, his son graduated from UW-Eau Claire, now going to Minnesota. Because they're offering this signing bonus over there.
Right, because they're taking public education seriously. They're making the investments in it. They understand that from state to state, we're competing for the people who are in jobs now and the people who will be in jobs in the future. And we know that what Wisconsin's legacy is around Act 10, which, again, looking at the graphs and numbers this morning, you saw that it really wasn't any kind of a reform, as Scott Walker said it was at the time. It was completely designed to not just break the union, but to have a massive reduction in the cost of labor.
Yep.
And that's all it was. There was no commensurate slashing of property taxes that went along with it. That's not what it was ever designed to do. It was designed to bring down costs, no different than any other company breaking the union, bringing down employee pay, and then they wonder why they can't keep and get good new employees.
As someone who was in the building, the Capitol at the time in 2011, and saw some of this stuff going on, it's appalling, because my former boss, Dale Schultz, said, you know, Act 10, we're creating a two-tier education system in this state, and we're seeing it play out now. We're going to prepare here just, I guess, about two more minutes or so, Mr. Zomerts. We'll take a break then.
I think we should. I see Representative Christina Shelton, Representative Deb Andrakis here. Oh, okay.
Look at this. I feel like, again, we're at look at this, live streaming. State Representative Christina Shelton. I've heard so much about you. We got to go to a break here in just a second, Representative. When we come back, we'll talk more about you. Met you earlier today, and it's great to have a youthful, smart person fighting for Wisconsin education.
You better with this crowd, yes.
Absolutely. We're going to come back and talk with her, more with our friend Pat Kreitlow as well. We are on location here at the beautiful South Milwaukee High School here for the Wisconsin Public Education Network Conference here in Milwaukee. And Mr. Zomers, everything sounding okay back there for you so far? All right, very good. So I wish you were here. There was great food, great drink.
Oh, I wish I was there too.
And a band to boot.
It sounds like it'd be a lot of fun. You'd learn a lot, meet a lot of cool people, but someone's got to stay here and hold down the fort.
It was a whole brass section that was up here.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was like being at Pep Band all over again.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break, as we said. Come back and talk with more here with the representative. More education and more of your calls, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You could also text us on the app, but if you don't have it, the only better day to download the Civic Media app than today was yesterday.
And you
can't do anything about it, so do it today. Go to your Apple device or your Android device, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media, download it. It takes less than a minute. It is free. It's what Gail King calls a deal. And you can take Mr. Kreitler with you in the morning, 6 to 8 on Up North News, or Mr. Zomers and I, 1 to 3 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. More with Public Education Network Conference here in South Milwaukee, live on location. This is the Tom Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. We are live on location here at South Milwaukee High School at the Wisconsin Publication Education Network Conference. If Todd could say the name, that'd be great. Representative has stepped out graciously for a second to make room for another guest. We are blessed. Mr. Kreitler, Pat Kreitler from Up North News, joins me as well. Dr. Jill Underley, she is the State Superintendent of Public Schools. You've been on with us via Zoom. It's nice to have you here in person. Thanks for making time for us.
Excited to be here.
And we got, I have to say, I was bragging up earlier, you know, your executive director here, Tom McCarthy, trying to explain the school funding system for like new school board members and others. You've got quite a team.
Oh, he's wonderful. They're brilliant. I mean, as far as being able to explain it, just the common, you know, just plain language, I couldn't do that job.
When you start something like this, which obviously these are all public education advocates, so what were the themes of your general remarks to kind of encourage them, given what the political environment is like out there in the wide world?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about divided government, right? You don't always get what you want, and sometimes what's negotiated behind the scenes is not something that you're really excited about negotiating about. So my message was really about hope and optimism. And at the end of the day, public schools will prevail. I mean, they are here for a reason. They're the foundation of our democracy, that they serve all kids. And at the end of the day, I truly believe, you know, the public will come around and realize that Wisconsin can't afford two systems of schools, and public schools will prevail.
Dr. Underley, as you travel around the state as state school superintendent, you have your school boards that do a lot of work that people don't recognize, our educators, our teacher, the classroom, but it's also about community. I used the example earlier, Ithaca School, a little tiny school district from where I'm from, won a state championship.
Against Pecatonica, which is
Was that your alma mater?
Yes, right.
I apologize to the fine folks in Pecatonica.
No, it's remarkable, these two tiny communities, right? Yeah.
I mean, you know what it's about, being from a small place. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's everything to that community, and you see this, I guess I'm looking for commonality. There's things that divide us, but the commonality of our schools, our communities.
100%. I mean, we all want the same things. And you talk to any school board member throughout the state, especially in the small towns or even the large towns. I mean, you look at it, we all want the same things. We want good schools for our kids. We want wonderful, passionate, you know, wonderful people in front of our kids, you know, as teachers and staff. At the end of the day, we all want to prepare our kids for a future that we know doesn't exist yet. Like, we don't know what it's going to be. And so we want the best, right? And I think at the end of the day, Republican, Democrat, no matter what your political stripes are, and even in the communities, like, we want our kids to come out of our schools well prepared for a future.
If I can ask something that just came into the news out of the Appleton School District and the right-wing Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty threatening a lawsuit because the school district had the audacity to have a welcome, new school year specifically for, students of color. And that the letter from the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty called it something like blatantly racist. Now, I bring it up to you because you have been absolutely unapologetic in your remarks about making sure that school districts, well, hell, all of us embrace diversity, equity, inclusion, all of those things. So I don't know your comfort level on talking about the specifics in Appleton, but I know you haven't shied away from talking about making sure that people from vulnerable communities, feel excluded or feel included and not intimidated, as this letter from Will is designed to do.
Right. And I think that's, you know, I think that's just the basis of it all, is that public schools are for everybody. Everybody needs to feel safe in their schools. And you look even outside of schools. I mean, so schools are very diverse. They're microcosms of our society. But once you leave school districts and you go into, you know, private sector, you know, workplaces, lots of places have mixers, they have organizations, or they have interest groups or whatever for populations of people, so that they can build that community. Because if you don't have that community, you don't feel like you belong anywhere. And, you know, I'm a mainstream white female in public education. There's lots of me, you know, represented everywhere. But if I was a person of color, for example, or an immigrant or something along those lines, I don't know if I would feel comfortable in school. And so you're going to want to seek out those people. And that's so true of students who are coming out of middle schools, going into a comprehensive high school. They want to find a place where they belong.
Let's just turn the budget for a second. Again, we're on location at the South Milwaukee High School, the Wisconsin Public Education Network Conference, along with Pat Kreitlow. Our guest is Dr. Jill Underlie. She is the state superintendent of Wisconsin Public Schools. Dr. Underlie, looking at the politics of this, there was a lot made about, you know, shared revenue got increased for local municipalities. And a lot of places, I'm from Richland Center, Pat's from up in Chippewa Valley, those rural areas, the state applauded that. I think what got lost in the conversation was this was not a great budget in terms of public education, and that came out of the Republican-controlled legislature. The governor really didn't have a whole lot of choice, I don't think, of whether he could assign that or not.
He did either. I think he was really stuck between, I mean, he cares about so many things, right? He cares about kids. He cares about our rural communities. He cares about our major metropolitan areas. I mean, he's a good guy. And it's hard. You know, politics is just hard, because sometimes the things that are on the negotiation table are what they're fighting over or bargaining over. I mean, it was a no-win situation, I feel.
And the burden goes on the backs of local school boards then.
It does. So they're going to be charged now with raising taxes, which leaves, you know, puts or keeps legislators off the hook. I mean, it is a state responsibility to fund our public schools. And the way that, you know, the revenue and the funding goes, a lot of times it's split, you know, 50-50 in the community, depending on their property value, right? But now we're seeing that shift greater responsibility to local school boards. And we've seen that with referendum. You know, I've talked to superintendents. Sometimes these non-recurring referendum are a third of their operating budget.
Wow.
And now they have a bigger burden. And it just takes the local, or I should say, it takes the state leaders off the hook on that.
And when you are forced to rely on a referendum, and again, your executive director, Tom McCarthy, made this point. Somebody asked, you know, is there an analogy that you use? And he said, one that you could use is the having to get a second job or a third job. You know, if you're a married couple and what you're bringing in just isn't enough. You can only cut so much. And at that point, you have to take on another job. That's what a referendum is. And you have to ask the taxpayers in your district, is that really what you want? Is that really the way you want to support your schools in your community? Or do you want your legislators to actually provide a raise for your base job to begin with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also think about it. It's like almost like taking out a second mortgage,
mm-hmm.
you know, or a third mortgage for a school district when they go into debt. On these kinds of things too. If it's a non-recurring referendum, it means that after X number of years, 5 years, let's say that if they 1.3 million or 600,000, whatever they do, that goes away unless another referendum passes. And in a lot of cases, they're failing now. I mean, our communities are strapped, our families are strapped, and we have a $7 billion surplus going into this last budget. There are certain things that I felt like were a no-brainer, like the special education increase. That impacts every school district. It would have made a huge difference right out of the gate. And again, it's a state responsibility.
And for folks that don't know, the special education reimbursement rate, the state reimburses districts for what is a very high expense, special education. What increase was there for public schools in this new agreement, and then compared to what it is for voucher schools?
Well, I don't know the percentages off the top of my head.
It's something like it went from like 30 to 33%.
The special education increase was like 1.8%.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the private schools got more money on top. They took the average. Let's say the average amount that we spend per high school student in Wisconsin is $15,000. So that means that there's schools that are spending less than that, mm-hmm. and then there are some schools that are spending more than that. But then they increased the voucher amount to the average. So there are certainly voucher schools that are going to be getting more per student than some high school students are in public schools.
We had a caller earlier, Dr. Underlie, who was talking about Act 10. And I happened to be in the building working for my former boss, the only Republican to vote against Act 10, Dale Schultz at the time. And at the time he said, you know, what we have done here is to create a two-tier education system, and we will see that. Sadly, it looks like that finally buried out across the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, it is. I mean, so I was just thinking about, you know, some of the schools in Southwest Wisconsin where I'm from, they can't find a upper level math teacher, or they can't find a chemistry teacher. What does it mean for those kids in those schools? That, you know, you've got schools in other parts of the state, more maybe more affluent communities that can pay more, you know, for these individuals to teach. So those kids are going to be fine. They're going to go into college or career or whatever prepared in areas that maybe are interesting to them. And then there's kids like in my district or in other areas in Southwest Wisconsin or rural northern Wisconsin who are not going to have upper level math. They're not going to have chemistry, or they're not going to have an English teacher. And so what does that mean for their future?
Yeah.
And that's where it's like we have these two tiers. We have also a system that accepts everybody. When you think about students with disabilities, and you think about gender and parents and families, they're accepting, they're inclusive. And then you have another system that is also taxpayer funded that doesn't. And that's not okay. And we have to have a reckoning, I think, about that.
So what can be done, and this was asked this morning as well, what can be done to increase that transparency? Is it on DPI, is it on local school districts to use already precious resources to let the community know that, you know, this line you see on your property tax bill for, say, the Chippewa Falls School District, that's not all going to Chippewa Falls Public Schools, but is that where the public education network here comes in? Who helps the taxpayer really understand that there's much more to the pie than what they think is going to public schools?
Yeah, I think it's on all of us. I think it's on the voters. I think it's on, you know, people in the media. I think it's people asking questions. It's asking the Legislative Fiscal Bureau. I mean, there's a lot of ways I think we can get there, but I know that they've, introduced bills, assuming it's been the Democrats, to be honest, to put on our property taxes, how much it's going to voucher and choice. And that keeps getting, struck from, they don't even see the light of day. So it's kind of like we should demand transparency as voters.
What's your message to groups like this, the Wisconsin Public Education Network, as you travel throughout the state, Dr. Underlie? What's the message of hope here that people, if they're in a local community listening to us across Wisconsin right now, what's the best thing people can do in their community to be supportive of public education?
Yeah, just keep advocating for your public schools. I mean, they are the heart and soul of our communities. They take all the kids in your communities. They're the future of, you know, our communities. When you think about what, you know, these students learn, and then they graduate, and a lot of them come back to, you know, their communities and live there. Support the schools, be informed, go to school board meetings, know what's on the agendas, advocate for the employees, when you're looking at cost of living raises, but also just know what, talk to your neighbors. That's fair, I suppose.
And go out to our local baseball games.
Right,
and
absolutely.
Support the kids and the teachers and the coaches.
Yeah, go Pecatonica.
You'll get us next time. Pat, anything else?
No, I think that, again, this is the time that people need to be reminded that, you know, we hear about, you know, parents' rights and choices. Like, you have those. Get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, your school board members are people in your community. Right. Lots of school board members have kids in schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really do. Great folks.
Yeah, and there's groups, parent-teacher organizations, or just, volunteer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Dr. Underlie, we really appreciate you. Dr. Jill Underlie, she is the state school superintendent, doing a great job for us. And I love the fact that you travel all over the state and get out and meet folks, because that's the best place to do it, right?
I love my job. I'm really fortunate. So thank you.
So are we. Thank you, Dr. Underle.
Thank you very much, Dr. Jill Underle. She has joined us here and on location from South Milwaukee Public School, the high school, that is, Wisconsin Public Education Network, along with Pat Kreitler here. What do you think, Pat? It's a great facility, as you said.
It's a wonderful facility, fantastic people, great hosts. Right. And, you know, now as I start to work my way back to Chippewa Falls, I'm going to leave you in the capable hands now of Representative Christina Shelton, who's not only going to talk about budget matters, but also the need to continue to support school meals and keep our kids nourished, you know, in the morning and the afternoon. It's that vital, and she's a real hero for that.
She really is. Look forward to talking more about that. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us. This is the Todd Allwell Show on location in South Milwaukee High School. And this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allwell Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location at South Milwaukee High School in South Milwaukee. We are at the Wisconsin Public Education Network. And again, apologize for my voice. It's not COVID. I've been testing, but it's this goofy, cold, laryngitis stuff. Mr. Kreitler, we thank him. You can listen to him every morning on Up North News from 6 until 8. He's making his way back to Lake Wissota. But right now, we are absolutely thrilled to welcome in State Representative Christina Shelton. She represents the 90th Assembly District around most of the city of Green Bay. She first was elected in 2020. Representative Shelton, thank you so very much for making time for us.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it was absolutely our pleasure. For folks, because we do go across the state on 18 different stations, for people that might not be aware of you, tell us a little bit about yourself. What inspired you to get into the legislature?
Yeah, so I'm a teacher by trade.
Really?
I taught kindergarten through 12th grade, health and physical education, and some higher ed as well. And I've got two kids in the Green Bay School District, so my heart has always been in public ed. I was elected and served on the Green Bay School Board back in 2018 and through 2020, and then decided to run for State Assembly and continue the fight for public education there. And now I serve as the ranking member on the Assembly Committee on Ed. And today is a great day. We're here at the summit with other public school champions, and it's just great to come together and talk about it.
My mom was a kindergarten teacher for 26, 27 years.
Love
so,
it.
Yeah, absolutely. Kindergarten teachers are the best. One of the things, Representative Shelton, that you're really passionate about is healthy school meals for all. Tell folks what that is about and how you've been involved.
Yeah, so we are here today. We have a table here. We're giving out information, free t-shirts, talking about healthy school meals for all. This is a bill that we introduced with Representative Francesca Hong and Senator Larson, Senator Agard. And this bill would essentially ensure free breakfast and free lunch for every Wisconsin kid every single day. It would wipe out school meal shaming, school meal debt. It would invest in the school meal system, and also help to increase the pay for food service workers, which are some of the lowest paid workers in schools. And it also will help to improve school meals. So this was a bill that was, we built a coalition around it. We now have over 300 members on this coalition. The governor put that provision in his previous budget. Unfortunately, it was taken out by Republicans, but we're going to be reintroducing it in the fall, and the coalition is strong. There's going to be some really exciting updates coming out about the coalition in a couple months, but we are committed to making sure that every kid has a free breakfast every single day and lunch, and it's a great coalition.
It is a great coalition. I also think there's a lot of misinformation or lack of knowledge in this state. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that are like, well, every kid's getting breakfast in the morning.
Right.
That is not the case. And this is not, I want to make this clear, this is not an urban problem here in Milwaukee or in Madison. I'll tell you, back at Richland Center, at the Richland School District, there are families that are taking advantage of free lunches because there is a hunger desert in many of these rural parts of the state.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is an urban issue, rural, suburban. This is an every Wisconsin family issue. You know, this started back during the COVID pandemic when we had waivers from the USDA that allowed schools the money to do free breakfast and free lunch. So that was something that we were told for years prior to COVID that we couldn't just do. We couldn't just feed all kids. And then we did it.
Yeah.
And the benefits of that were seen rapidly. I mean, the research showed what was going to happen and that happened. And so we have the receipts for that. And there are so many kids that fall through the cracks. I mean, whether it's because they're not filling out those free and reduced meal forms, maybe they don't qualify for free and reduced. You know, there's families that are working that, you know, food is expensive these days. We've estimated that for an average family of four with two kids going to school, eating breakfast and lunch every day under the paid system, this would save them about $150 a month.
Wow.
That they're paying.
That's a lot. That's a light bill for some people. Electricity bill.
I know. Yeah. I mean, my daughter goes to high school at East High School. Shout out to East High School and Green Bay Public Schools.
Absolutely.
And I swear every 2 weeks I'm putting $100 on her meal card. And I'm happy to do it. But that would be a savings for families if we could get this bill done.
Are there private partners in this program? Are there grocery stores? Are there people that are actually giving either money or food to these programs across the state?
Well, look, I think, you know,
we should have legislation, right? But are there people out there helping?
Absolutely. There's so many people that are working. And I think what makes it complicated is a complicated system of like federal regulation, state, right? And then local. I mean, we have to follow USDA guidelines. I think the thing that's the best about this coalition is it is such a broad coalition of multiple stakeholders from across the state that have come together. We've got social workers. We've got farmers and growers, the farmers union, the teachers union, counselors and therapists, just people who understand this complex issue, but see it maybe from a different lens, but still are committed to making it happen. So there's so many people that have been working on this, and there's other states that have recently passed it, and we've got our eye on the prize to get it done.
If you don't mind, as long as we have you here, we got about 3 minutes left. State Representative Christina Shelton for the Green Bay area for the 90th Assembly District. A lot of folks are talking about this special session that the governor called to try to get more money for childcare. This is also a huge problem for Wisconsin families. Now, there's people are going to say, why do this? You know, Republicans are just going to gavel in, gavel out. From a Democratic perspective, why go through this and make sure to hold people accountable?
Well, listen, it's our job in government to address market failures, right? And to ensure that people have what they need to be able to participate in the workforce, to access economic security, to support working families and kids and moms and dads. And childcare is a central issue. And it's not, you know, just an issue of affordability. It's an issue of accessibility. And the market is at a point of absolute crisis. Yeah. And it's our job at this point to look at what government can do in service of others and for common good. And we have demonstrated through the Child Care Counts program that there is a way that we can smartly invest in these programs that makes a significant difference, not only for the providers, but those looking for providers. I'm really excited that the governor called the special session. We've got the money to do it. We still have a budget surplus.
$4 billion.
And this will help working families every single day. And if they can't get to work, then that is an issue, especially with our workforce numbers being so tight.
I'm not a professional at this, but when we have women putting their name on a list before they get pregnant for childcare, that's a problem.
I've heard people say that they've been on a list for a year before they've been pregnant. And women and dads leaving the workforce because they don't have access to childcare if they want to work. That is a crisis.
But 90 seconds left, Representative Shelton. As a former kindergarten teacher, what's a memory that comes to your mind about what's the best part of just being a teacher?
Oh, my favorite part of being a teacher is the relationships with the kids. Yeah. I taught health and physical education. Getting to organize, you know, 40 kids in a gym in a badminton tournament where they're having a blast, getting exercise, learning, you know, those social skills, leadership, forgiveness.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing to watch kids grow.
Yeah.
And I miss it so much. I miss the smell of the gymnasium. I miss my sneakers. I miss my whistle. I miss being able to yell, you know, in the gym.
Right.
And I miss coaching. I coached basketball too. And I just love working with kids. Mm. It's just so fun.
My former teacher, unfortunately, my kindergarten teacher has passed away since, but Carmen Kennedy, I still remember her. She was fantastic. And you really do learn a lot about life in kindergarten. So appreciate all of your work at schools, but now you're doing a great job in the legislature. She is Christina Shelton from the 90th Assembly District Representative. Thank you so very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure. We'll be back live from South Milwaukee at the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Don't forget, Luke Mathers is on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the Town Hall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.